Between juggling client meetings, managing your website, and keeping up with everyday tasks, who has time to stress about website security? With Kinsta, they take care of the technical stuff so you can focus on what you do best. Kinsta is a managed WordPress hosting provider, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and unmatched human-only customer support. Plus, their user-friendly custom dashboard, MyKinsta, makes managing your site or multiple sites easy and efficient. Customers can experience up to 200% faster sites by simply moving to the platform. And thanks to their unlimited free expert-led migrations, Kinsta ensures a smooth transition from other hosting providers with zero downtime. Ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get your first month free when you sign up at Kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their websites. Visit Kinsta.com to get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today.
I've always said that I wanted to be remembered as a player that didn't waste a moment, didn't waste a day. And I felt extremely blessed by the God-given talent. But at the same time, I didn't take it for granted at all.
The most important thing for me is to leave no stone unturned, get better every single day. And if I lived that way, then over time, you know, I'd have something that was beautiful. But that was my philosophy. It seems like a pretty simple one, but you know, if you live your life to just get better every single day and do that for 20 years, I mean, what do you have?
Like my kids at 2 could do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? At 2, I could dribble a basketball. I could shoot a basketball on the Nerf hoop at the house, and I would go to practice with my father. I would observe my father. I'd sit and watch games with him.
And was he your first coach?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that. You know, a lot of things I learned by being around the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So by the age of 6, I was already strategizing versus other 6-year-olds.
My brain cannot process failure. It will not process failure. Because if I sit there and have to face myself and tell myself, you know, you're a failure, I think that's almost worse than death.
At 13 years old, you know, I played the longer game because my game wasn't about being better than you at 13. It was to be better than you when, you know, the chips are really on the line. So when you played at 13, I would size you up and see what your strengths and weaknesses are. How do you approach the game? Are you silly about it? Are you goofy about it? Are you good at it just because you're bigger and stronger than everybody else? Right? Or is there actually thought and skill that you put into it? Right? And when I'd play to my weaknesses. I wouldn't play to my strengths. I'd play to my weaknesses. Because when you're playing summer basketball, there's so many games. So there's not a lot of skill work being done. So when are you going to get better? Right? When you're playing in competition situations, you're only playing to your strengths. Why? Because you want to win. Right? So what I would do, I was working on the things during those games that I was weak at. Left hand, pull-up jump shot, post game. Right? So I have a strategy. And so then, fast forward to when I'm 17, and my game is completely well-rounded, and that player at 13 that I saw at 13 is still doing the same shit at 17, now you got a problem.
What was really your work ethic like, and for how long did you stay disciplined?
Well, every day. I mean, since, you know, for 20 years. I mean, it was an everyday process and trying to figure out strengths and weaknesses. For example, jumping ability. Man, my vertical was a 40, wasn't a 46 or a 40, mm-hmm. 45. My hands are big, but they're not massive. Right, so you got to figure out ways to strengthen them so your hands are strong enough to be able to palm a ball and do the things that you need to do. Quickness, I was quick, but not insanely quick. I was fast, but not ridiculously fast. Right, so I had to rely on skill a lot more. I had to rely on angles a lot more. I had to study the game a lot more. But I enjoyed it, though. So, like, from the time I can remember when I started watching the game, I studied the game, and it just never changed.
We were playing against the Lakers, Tom, and we were out here in L.A. You know, look, I always try to outwork people, right? That's just how I made my mark. So the game was at 7. I was like, you know what? I'm going to come to the Staples Center because we're playing. This is when the Lakers had Kobe and Shaq,
right?
Okay? This is like the championship Lakers. I was like, you know, I'm going to get there at 3 o'clock, and I want to make sure I make 400 made shots before I go back into the room, and then I sit in the sauna and I get ready for the game. So, you know, get in the car, get to the gym, get there. And as I'm walking onto the court, who do I see? I see Kobe Bryant already working out. So once I set my foot across that line, I started working out. And so I worked out for a good hour, hour and a half. And when I came off, after I was done, I sat down. And of course, I still heard the ball bouncing. I looked down, I'm like, this guy's still working out. He was working out for like, it looks like he was in a dead sweat when I got here. Right. And he's still going. And it's not like his moves are nonchalant or lazy. He's doing like game moves, right. You know? I sit there and I unlace my shoes. I'm like, I want to see how long this goes. So I sit out there and watch another 25 minutes. And he got done. I said, okay, I think I've seen enough. Go play, you know, come back, get in the sauna, get ready for the game. That game, he drops 40 on us, okay? And after the game is over, I'm like, I have to ask this guy. Like, I have to understand, like, why he works like that.
Right.
So after the game is over, I'm like, hey, Kobe, like, why were you in the gym for so long? He's like, because I saw you come in. And I wanted you to know that it doesn't matter how hard you work, that I'm willing to work harder than you.
You know, basketball for me was the most important thing. So everything I saw, whether it was TV shows, whether it was books I read, people I talked to, everything was done to try to learn how to become a better basketball player. Everything. And so when you have that point of view, then literally the world becomes your library to help you to become better at your craft. You have to do the hard stuff and watch that game and study that game to not make those mistakes over and over again just because you weren't brave enough to face it. You gotta deal with
it. Face it.
Gotta deal with it. Face it, learn from it. And all those little things, and it sucks. But you don't want to have that feeling again, do you? Right? So you gotta really study it, face it. And not to say you'll win the next time you face it, but at least you'll give yourself a better chance.
Yeah.
So when you think about the greatest players of all time, 90, 80% of them have God's gift of natural talent, ability, body.
Fact.
Right? So Jordan, 48-inch vertical, right? You got the big hands, right?
Yeah,
you got LeBron, right? You have Shaquille O'Neal, right? Then Magic, 6'9", point guard with vision. Kobe, standard. Mm-hmm. If I give you 6'6", and then took every 6'6 guard in the NBA and NBA history, you would never find him, right? You would never find Kobe because he didn't have big hands. Right? He wasn't quick. He wasn't fast. 38-inch vertical. That's standard. Like, if you don't have a 38-inch vertical, you're not even a shooting guard in today's game, right? And what he did with that body, it's like you took a S500 and he was pushing it like a Bugatti.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we look at. We look at the normal person fighting gods.
Yes.
There's a quote from one of my English teachers at Lord Marion named Mr. Fisk. He had a great quote that said, rest at the end, not in the middle. And that's something I always live by. You know, I'm not going to rest. I'm going to keep on pushing now. There are a lot of answers that I don't have, even questions that I don't have. But I'm just going to keep going. I'm just going to keep going, and I'll figure these things out as we go. Right? And you just continue to build that way. So that, I try to live by that all the time.
You're playing against the Golden State Warriors. Score is 107-109. You guys are close to getting into the playoffs. You're about to take your shot, and then all of a sudden, boom.
Falls down.
Again, he's struggling.
He's at the line to shoot free throws, so he can't be taken out of the game right now.
Right after you were injured, you went on Facebook, and yeah. You posted a lengthy blog. This is such BS. All the training and sacrifice just flew out the window with one step that I've done millions of times. The frustration is unbearable. The anger is rage. Why the hell did this happen? Makes no damn sense. Now I'm supposed to come back from this and be the same player or better at 35? How in the world am I supposed to do that? I have no clue. Maybe I should break out the rocking chair and reminisce on the career that was. Maybe this is how my book ends. Maybe Father Time has defeated me. Then again, maybe not. There are far greater issues and challenges in the world than a torn Achilles. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Find the silver lining and get to work with the same belief, same drive, and same conviction as ever. One day, the beginning of a new career journey will commence. Today is not that day. If you see me in a fight with a bear, pray for the bear.
I wanted to be one of the best basketball players to ever play. And anything else that was outside of that lane, I didn't have time for.
At what age did that goal become crystal clear? I made
that deal with myself at 13 years old.
At 13 years old?
13 years old. That's
you
the deal I made.
Crystal clear about it.
Crystal clear.
And where did inspiration come from?
The love of the game. The love of the game. The challenge. Like, I would watch Magic play. I'd watch Michael play. And I would see them do these unbelievable things. And I'd say, you know, can I get to that level? I don't know, but let's find out. Let's find out. And so that curiosity to see where I could push this thing led me down that path, I think.
We were in Vegas for the start of training camp, and we were getting ready for the Olympics in Beijing. We're going to head to Beijing. And I wanted to establish myself as a young leader on the team by waking up bright and early, day one. So the goal was to be the first one at breakfast. So I set my alarm. I make sure I'm up by sunrise. I get out of bed. I put on my gear and I head downstairs. But when I get there, Kobe's already there with ice packs on his knees, drenched in sweat. Now, it took me a minute to figure it out, but this guy wasn't only awake before me. He had already worked out. He had just played in the finals days earlier. Meanwhile, I'd been off for months and I was still exhausted. What he had done that morning was incomprehensible to me. That dedication he had only days after falling short of an NBA championship. That taught me something I've never forgotten. Legends aren't defined by their successes. They're defined by how they bounce back from their failures.
Doubt is such a strange thing. I mean, it's, you know, there'll be times where you succeed and there are times that you fail. So wasting your time doubting whether you're going to be successful or not is pointless. It is. I mean, you just put one foot in front of the other. You control what you can't control. And then you see what the outcome is. Right? If you win, great. You're going to have to wake up the next day and do the journey over again. If you lose, it sucks. But you're going to have to wake up the next day and do the journey all over again anyway.
Those times when you get up early and you work hard. Those times when you stay up late and you work hard. Those times when you don't feel like working. You're too tired. You don't want to push yourself, but you do it anyway. That is actually the dream. That's the dream. It's not the destination, it's the journey. If you guys can understand that, then what you'll see happen is that you won't accomplish your dreams. Your dreams won't come true. Something greater will.
I think the greatest fear that we face is ourselves, actually. You know, I think it's not anything that's external or anything that's superficial. I think the greatest fear you face is yourself, because, you know, we all have dreams, and it's very scary sometimes to accept the dream that you have, and it's scarier still to say, okay, I want that. It's scary because you're afraid that if you put your heart and soul into it and you fail, then how are you going to feel about yourself, right? So being fearless means putting yourself out there and going for it. No matter what, go for it. Not for anybody else, but for yourself. If your job is to try to be the best basketball player you can be, mm-hmm. right? To do that, you have to practice, you have to train, right? You want to train as much as you can, as often as you can. So if you get up at 10 in the morning, train at 11, right? 12, say 12, train at 12, train for 2 hours, 12 to 2. You have to let your body recover. So you eat, recover, whatever. You get back out, you train, start training again at 6. Train from 6 to 8, right? And now you go home, you shower, you eat dinner, you go to bed, you wake up, you do it again, right? Those are two sessions. Right, now imagine you wake up at 3, you train at 4, you go 4 to 6, come home, breakfast, relax, now you're back at it again, 9 to 11, right, relax, and now all of a sudden you're back at it again, 2 to 4, and now you're back at it again, 7 to 9. Look how much more training I have done by simply starting at 4, right, and so now you do that, and as the years go on, the separation that you have with your competitors and your peers just grows larger and larger and larger and larger and larger. And by year 5 or 6, doesn't matter what kind of work they do in the summer, they're never going to catch up because they're 5 years behind. Right? So it makes sense to get up and start your day early because you can get more work in. If I start earlier, I can train more hours. And I know the other guys aren't doing it because I know what their training schedule is. And so I know if I do this consistently over time,
the gap's just going to widen and widen and widen and widen and widen, and they won't be able to get that back. So to me, it was just common sense. I'm like thinking, how can I get an advantage? Oh, start earlier.
And this is right after that playoff game. We flew back to LA that night, and I got home. It's probably like 3 a.m. And I went down to the high school, which is down the street from our house. And the janitor let me in the gym, and I shot all day. All day. I mean, all day. And I didn't leave the gym. I just kept shooting and shooting and shooting and shooting and shooting and shooting and practicing and practicing. And I got a chance to let out the steam of disappointing my teammates and millions of fans. I got a chance to let all that out instead of bottling it up and envision that moment over and over and over and over and over. That was a huge something for me because I felt like everybody had written me off after those air balls.
You got a lot of people playing their hard-earned money to come watch you perform. It's your job to be in shape. It's your job to be strong enough to perform at that level every single night. And as a competitor, I'm not ducking shit. Like, it's not, oh my God, my back hurts, I'm sore. We got to play Vince Carter and Toronto Raptors tonight. We actually had this happen. We had a game against Toronto in 2000, and Vince was tearing the league up. My back was jacked. But like the perception of that, like, what? Kobe's missing the game against Toronto, Vince Carter, because man, my back was really spasming. But people would be like, what? Oh, he's ducking Vince. Excuse me? No, I don't think so. So I would be in the layup line like, okay, there's a lot of days where, you know, you can rest and recover. Today ain't one of them. Your back can bother you any other day. That shit ain't bothering me today. He gonna have to see me today. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
A lot of the kids that I was playing against were inner city kids. Yeah. And so they're looking at me as if, okay, this kid's soft, right? He's from the suburbs of Philadelphia. His father played in the NBA, played professionally.
He's got it easy.
Born on second, you know, all this other stuff, right? And so they felt like they could try to be physical or try to intimidate me and do all this other stuff, which they couldn't, right? But now I'm saying, okay, well, you're trying to attack me. How am I going to attack you? How can I mentally figure out ways to break you down? How can I show you that, no, I have the edge, right? And so that's when it first started for me, is figuring out how to get the upper hand on an opponent that way.
And what would you do to mentally break people down then?
We used to have an All-American camp that I used to go to. And you know, at the time when I first showed up, I was a sophomore. And one of the things I would do is everybody would be at the cafeteria, work, you know, eating and doing all sorts of stuff. I'd just go back to the gym.
They'd be resting.
And they'd see me leave. Right, but now you're in a tough position because you're like, okay, I want to be like, I'm following the kid to go work out, but I know he's working, he's up early, and he's doing all this other stuff. And so that was my way of showing them, yeah, I may be from the suburbs, but you're not going to outwork me.
Wow.
And I'm mentally going to.
Did someone teach you that? Was that just a thing that you decided, like, I'm going to get in people's minds?
I think it's just figuring out ways to be better.
But what does losing feel like to you?
It's exciting.
Why is it exciting?
Because it means you have different ways to get better. There's certain things that you can figure out that you can take advantage of, right? Certain weaknesses that were exposed that you need to shore up, right? So it was exciting. I mean, it sucks to lose.
Right.
But at the same time, there are answers there. You just look at them.
Because you get the information from losing more than from winning, probably.
Yeah. I mean, the answers are there when you win, too. You just have to look at them.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a constant process. It's exciting when you win. It's exciting when you lose, because the process should be exactly the same, whether you win or you lose. As you go back and you look and you find things that you could have done better, you find things that you've done well that worked, figure out how did they work, why did they work, and how can you make them work again.
Yeah.
And but the hardest thing is to face that stuff.
I think the best way to prove your value is to work, is to learn, is to absorb, to be a sponge. But you always want to outwork your potential. You know, as hard as you believe you can work harder than that. And that's what I tried to do when I first came in the league. But you know, basketball is such a direct competition sport that me coming in at 17, I hated when like my teammates would say, you know, I get hit with an elbow, right? Shaq would hit me with an elbow in practice. And like, you know, Nick Van Exel would come up and say, are you okay? I'm like, what? Wow, are you okay? What the hell's wrong with you? You know, so like I always had that extra chip on my shoulder. So like every day in practice for me was really trying to annihilate everybody that I was playing against. Because I wanted to prove you don't need to babysit me. Like I'm fine, you know?
Mamba mentality simply means trying to be the best version of yourself. That's what the mentality means. It means every day you're trying to become better. And it's a constant quest. It's an infinite quest. So starting at the age of 2, when I first started playing the game, and on and on, I always ask questions. I always try to get better every single day.
The lesson I cherish the most is how important it is to love what you do. If you love what you do and it's making you happy, all the hard work and perseverance will pay off. When you know you're truly giving it your all, there is no greater feeling in the world. I once had a guidance counselor tell me that I shouldn't play basketball, that it would never amount to anything for me. You know what? Much to your surprise, I took that counselor's advice. I took it and I used it to be the best basketball player I could be. His negativity towards me made me stronger. You can't stop people from trying to limit your dreams, but you can stop it from becoming a reality. Your dreams are up to you. I encourage you to always be curious, always seek out things you love, and always work hard once you find it. So with that, I'll let you carry on with your evening. Please know I'm thinking of you, supporting you, and encouraging you always.